Thank you, David. If you are an average person, and I would say that none of you here are merely average, you speak about 7,000 words a day. Actually, if you're a woman, women speak about 13,000 words a day. It's okay. But the average person speaks about 7,000 words a day. Some will be thoughtless. Some will be shared in warning. 7,000. So if you do the math, that means that you will use 800 million words in your lifetime. 800 million. That's a lot. What we want to talk about today in the passage we have before us, particularly verses 18 to 20, is that we are told that we are expected to show with our words that we know and are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told what we are expected to say with our words. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we are expected to use those words to serve others. As we turn to our passage this morning, Paul tells us that we are, in the verses 18 to 15, 16, and 17, that we are to be careful how we live, careful how we walk about, careful in our lifestyle, that we ought to be wise and not unwise, that we need to make the most of every opportunity. And that's echoed later on, and I will quote Paul, who wrote in Colossians 4, specifically about our words. But we're to make the most of every opportunity because there is a culture of wickedness surrounding us. So we're to be wise, not to be unwise, not to be foolish. And what we are told is that to begin with, we need to let the Spirit fill our lives and allow nothing else to fill our lives. And you may be saying to yourself, that's good and well and wonderful, but how do we fill our lives with the Spirit? Our first point, verse 18, is we are instructed to be filled with the Spirit. And we may assume that spiritual activity is proof of our spiritual strength. That spiritual people are worshiping people. That spiritual people are thankful people. Those that are filled with the Spirit are those that are saying, oh, God bless you. And God has blessed me, and I am a prayer, and I'm a worshiper, and I'm a singer, and I'm all these things. And you would be mostly correct. But in verse 18, we are literally told, verse 18 and 19, we're told, because verses 18 and 19 are all one sentence, instead, be filled with the Spirit. How? By speaking to one another, by singing and making music in your hearts, and by always giving thanks to God. There are three different methods of communication with three different audiences. We show our fullness of the Spirit when we speak to one another. We are proving whether or not we are filled with the Spirit by how we talk to one another. We are proving how full we are of the Spirit when we sing and make music to the Lord. and we show our fullness. We demonstrate the Spirit's leading in our lives when we give thanks to God the Father. How we interact with others shows how we are filled with the Spirit. How we interact with God the Father. How we interact with Christ the Son. All show different methods of communication that demonstrate our fullness of the Spirit. And this morning, while we could spend time talking about singing and making music to the Lord, we could talk about giving thanks to God the Father through the name of Jesus Christ. Instead, we want to address how we should speak to one another. Spiritual people, Spirit-filled people, speak in a certain way. We are to speak to one another with songs in a variety of styles. Well, why speak to one another with songs? It's not really what we do now. But you have to understand that when this was written, it was an oral tradition. There were few books. There were few writings. And so if you wanted something memorable, if you wanted to make an impact, you put it to music. That's what the Psalms are. The Psalms are a songbook so that the people would remember doctrine, would remember truth, would remember cultural connections. In a society where few people were able to read and writings were rare, if you wanted to be remembered, you sang. And so when Paul is writing this, he's saying, speak to them. The Greek word laleo, which means to speak, not to sing, but we are to speak with songs, like a commercial jingle. For example, if I were to ask you what the phone number for Cars for Kids is. There you go. But is it, what is it? 877 Cars, 1-877 Cars for Kids.
Cars for Kids, Cars
K. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. That's right. And even though we don't care what the number is, if there's ever an opportunity where we think, I might want to donate my car, that will come in. I remember when our kids were little, even Vacation Bible School, we sing scripture. Why? So that kids remember it. I don't remember anything about it, most things, but I can remember all these scripture songs that remind me of truth. And that's what we're supposed to do. Our Spirit-filled conversations are to be memorable. Paul tells us how we should do that. The second thing we see here is that we are informed of what we should say to one another. We speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Psalms are melodic, memorable passages of Scripture. And the Psalms are quoted throughout biblical history. Jesus quoted the Psalms. In fact, Jesus, of all the Old Testament writings, he quoted the Psalms the most, 11 times, including Psalm 90, verse 11. But Paul quotes the Psalms. He quotes, among other things, Psalm 50, verse 4. Peter quotes the Psalms, Psalm 54, 22. John quotes the Psalms in Psalm 2, 9. Even Isaiah quotes the Psalms, 136, 22. We are to speak to one another the words of Scripture. It is not inappropriate In fact, it is encouraged by the witness of Scripture and by these words themselves, that we ought to be speaking Scripture. Now, we don't nowhere. Well, one time. One time, is there a quote in Scripture where it says, as spoken by Isaiah? But most of the time when Scripture is used in the Scriptures, it is spoken, written, but not given a footnote. Well, you know, John 3:16 says this. Well, you know that Ephesians 5:18 says this. No, we don't need to do that. We can say, though, don't be drunk with wine, instead be filled with the Spirit. And someone may say, well, what's that from? And you can say, I'm not sure. Or you can say it's Ephesians 5:15 or 18. But we are to speak to one another in a memorable way the words of Scripture. We are to speak to one another with hymns. Hymns are melodic or memorable teachings and doctrines. And we see that in the New Testament as well. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Our mindset ought to be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then Paul quotes a contemporary for that day hymn. Probably a piece of teaching set to music. Who Christ, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather became nothing, emptying himself of all, and became a servant, even obedient to death on the cross. We also have Revelation 4:11, where John quotes, glory, glory, glory to the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come, which isn't Scripture before he quoted it, but a song that was contemporary of that time that enforced Christian teaching, the teaching of the church. And we're to speak to one another with sound doctrine, not necessarily sharing all the scriptural background for things, but we can share the gospel by a hymn, by a memorable way of encapsulating truth. And we have hymns today that do that sort of thing. Amazing Grace is a beautiful song, but it's also a doctrinal song. We know something about God. We know something about our salvation. We know something about the truth of God that's contained in Scripture by singing Amazing Grace. And we can use these doctrines, these truths, sharing the gospel. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, you know, Jesus was hung on a cross and died for my sins and died for your sins, but on the third day he rose again. It's not specifically encapsulated in one particular verse, but it's true and it's memorable and it's factual and worth sharing with one another. So we speak to one another with sound doctrine. The third thing, we speak to one another with songs of the Spirit, or spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are melodic, memorable, contemporaneous thoughts of truth. Usually cultural in nature, cultural in style. Spirit songs are using what is in and around us to glorify God. Jesus does this in Matthew 11:17. He talks about the weather. And he says, you guys know by looking at the sea when a storm is coming, or you can look to the skies and you know that it's going to rain. How is it that you cannot interpret the times? It's sort of a spiritual song. It's sort of a memorable part of our culture where we're connecting something that is in the world with the world of Scripture. We see that in Acts 17, using a cultural reference to share spiritual truth. Acts 17, 28 is Paul's sermon at the Temple Mount, in Athens, the Areopagus, where he is saying, "You yourselves have poets who have said this. Now let me tell you." Or, "I see that you have an altar to an unknown God. Let me tell you who that unknown God is." And we can do that too. We can take things out of the culture. We can talk about the Red Sox, or we can talk about movies, or we can talk about music, or we can talk about television, or we can talk about whatever. And we can take things within the culture and frame them into something that the Spirit can use to relay the glory of God. We speak to one another with culturally relevant truth. Now, when we engage in Spirit-filled conversation, we share biblical truth, doctrinal truth, cultural truth. And elsewhere in the Bible, we're told why we ought to speak with Spirit-filled words. And in this, I'm going to go to three different passages of Scripture. We are involved, my third point is we are involved in a ministry of words. Ephesians 4:29, it's a couple of verses earlier. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Our words to one another are intended to build others up. It is not enough to quote Scripture, or to teach doctrine, or to be culturally relevant, if we are not using those words to build others up according to their needs. It is wonderful to memorize Scripture. It is inappropriate to use a verse for every occasion. "Oh, this is what you're going through? I have a Scripture verse. It's the same Scripture verse I share with everybody else." No, you need to build them up by using these three psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, memorable Scripture, memorable doctrine, memorable cultural references for the glory of God, so that they are built up according to their needs. Edification. Our words provide a foundation and strength for those in need. Hebrews 10:25, which says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." Our words to one another are intended to encourage one another. Again, we could use Scripture for any number of things. Beat people over the head. Show them their errors. We can use doctrine to tell people how they're wrong. Or we can use Scripture to encourage, to motivate, to prod on to life and good works, to love and good works. Our words can provide motivation, purpose, boldness. As we see that day of wickedness approaching, we can encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, memorable words of Scripture, of doctrine,
cultural truth for the glory of God.
One last verse, James 4:11. Do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Our words to one another are never to slander another. Slander is to intentionally cause damage through half-truth or lie. Where you say something with the sole intent of tearing down. It's the opposite of Ephesians 4:29. Our words are only intended for building up. Our words are never to be used to tear someone down. We ought to be speaking words of restoration. Words that come alongside, whether it's scriptural truth, words of scripture, words of doctrine, words of cultural truth to glorify God, where we are restoring, where we are reducing the damage that others are causing. Ultimately, that's how we ought to be using our 800 million words. We're to speak to others with spirit-filled words so that our relationship with God, our filledness of the Spirit, is known, and that they remember God's edification, motivation, and restoration. Our sermon in a sentence is this: follow the Spirit and speak in such a way that others remember the Lord. This is a promise, not just a behavior. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will speak to others this way. If we look at verses 18 and 19 of Ephesians, it says, instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we're filled with the Spirit, God promises that we will have words to speak that will be scriptural or doctrinal or culturally relevant, so that God may be glorified and He may be remembered, so that we can build one another up, send one another out, and transform one another. Doesn't mean that every conversation needs to contain all these things. Every conversation should not contain a scripture reference or expound on some profound tenet of the faith. Rather, as I said, Colossians 4:6 says this: let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Show that you are filled with the Spirit as you speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak in such a way that those who hear will hear God and not His messenger. Follow the Spirit and speak in such a way that others remember the Lord. Shall we pray?